You know how Groot's thing, which has turned into so much merchandising.
Yes.
What would another character be who's like be really funny if they could only say like one thing?
Captain America.
What does he say?
Freedom.
America.
Not even America, just America.
So like we're talking about like ultimate Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I guess the Punisher.
Yeah. That's it. Peter Parker could just yell Uncle Ben and cry. That's it.
Yeah. And Tobey Maguire, he couldn't even yell. He would just cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, constantly crying.
Blubber.
Yeah. Hal Jordan's just, she's 18.
Okay, let's start. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hey.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, you're here too.
I'm here. Oh, man, I didn't know you guys were going to be at the show.
Let's all do our high voices.
Oh, yeah. It's the high voice show.
I'm Murray.
I'm Bri.
I'm Kyle.
This is the news.
Yeah.
Current Zero News Flash.
By the time this comes out, this will be a couple weeks back, but still kind of cool news. Logan has received a nomination for the 2018 Writers Guild Awards Best Adapted Screenplay. That's James Mangold, Scott Frank, and Michael Green.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool. That's like a superhero movie that's being recognized.
Yeah.
For that, that's...
It was quite good.
It was. It was very well written. Like, and that's the thing, that we're getting to that point where...
It's well-deserved, I would say. That movie is fantastic. It's, I mean, it is a superhero movie, but it's a superhero movie that particular
It's only because it's a superhero movie, because it's based off those, like, coming out of all the things before, you could not get to that point without the things beforehand.
Right.
And I think it's almost like a microcosm of comics, whereas, like, comics did that for years and years and years and years to get to the point of, like, you could write serious, more heavier stuff that it doesn't...
I really hope that, you know, between that and Deadpool, that the movie studios don't take it the same way that the comic industry did.
Yeah.
Like, everything must
okay,
be
make it dark. No. That's not the point.
No, but at the same time, I think with Disney helming the Marvel Universe, I don't think there's any complete danger of that.
I hope it's still an option, though.
Oh, yeah. I think that, yeah.
I'll give the thing, I think part of the reason I like Logan so much is because it was bleak and dark and stuff like that, but there was still hope.
There was hope, and it was good characters.
Oh, yeah.
It was good characters, and it was fantastic acting, and it was just like, and this is the thing that I complain about in every movie. You got bad dialogue, you got horrible characters, and it's like the same shit over and over again, and it's like, I can predict what's going to happen next. That, you know, it's well done. You have a good writer that's like, let's just write a really good story. It doesn't matter that it's got superheroes and whatever in it.
It shouldn't at all. Yeah.
It's characters. That's all it comes down to. That's every story should come down to, is characters doing interesting things and reacting to each other and doing something. The fact that they have claws coming out is irrelevant.
And they all do. Every last one of them.
All of them.
Wait, are we talking about movies or comics?
I thought we were talking about real life.
Oh.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Hamlet. To be or schnicked not to be.
Yeah. Alas, poor Bob.
And why did I do a southern accent?
I don't know
why I did. Not to be, that's a question.
Reckon that's the question.
Yeah.
Anyway, snickety bickety.
Yeah. Get in my truck.
Howdy, y'all. Bill Shakespeare here.
Yeah.
For Bill Shakespeare's country fried
chicken
shakes. We take all the best parts of the chicken, blend them into a shake. That's for you. Eat it up. Eat it up. That's good.
Then
Bill Shakespeare Jr. here.
Anything else?
Bill Shakespeare.
Is that the only one you got?
I have one more.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't know if you had it.
No, I think...
No, okay.
We only sell two things here, shakes and spears.
Shakespeare's fried chicken.
And this is kind of sad news.
Okay.
John Paul Stewart passed away. Now, you might not know that name. He was 33 years old. He was a semi-regular on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh. Wait, what? 33? Oh, no.
Yeah. So, his character's name, and we'll see if you recognize this, and he did other stuff as well. Not a lot of acting. He did this when he was younger, and he did a couple of things, and then he did a lot of other things beyond acting and whatever. Alexander Roshenko.
No! Yeah. Oh, God.
Who was Worf's son.
Yeah.
He came back later as a teenager, but this is Alexander Roshenko as a young, tyke. A young...
That's really sad.
A young,
really
angry sad. Klingon. Yes. Yeah.
They did rewatch the whole thing in the last year or so.
Yeah? Oh, did you?
Yeah,
in this generation?
On
yeah.
Netflix, I was just.
Yeah, that's in my list. I was like, that's one of the ones I want to get to. I just did, this summer, I did Deep Space Nine. I love it.
In reverse order, I finished 7 seasons of Next Gen. I'm just like, all right, Deep Space Nine. I'll get to it. Like, I'm just going to take a little break from...
I did Next Generation the old-fashioned way, because when Next Generation really came out, there was obviously was no internet, no Netflix or anything like that. Yeah. My mother was getting married to my stepfather at the time, and we had a camp. For those outside of our region, that is a cottage. Mm-hmm. And it was a rainy, rainy, crappy summer.
I'm pretty sure...
And...
Don't we call them Relax-A-Shack?
Relax-A-Shack. I like that.
Yeah, that's what I call it.
I like that.
Let's heal this divide.
But my stepfather was a big fan of the show, and he had taped every episode. So he literally, we came over.
Did he pause it when the commercials were on, or were the commercials still in it?
You know, some of them were paused, some of them were not.
Okay.
But he came up with a stack of, like, VHS. And I was like, it's a horrible summer.
I've got it all on VHS.
I watched, like, I don't think the whole show had ended by that point, I watched maybe, like...
And he didn't record any of the Barkley episodes.
I watched, like, 4 or 5 seasons or whatever on VHS. I binged before there was binging.
That's pretty cool. And also, that's some dedication, because that would air once, and then it'd be ready at the record button.
He was on top of it.
Fantastic.
I was like, that's okay. You can marry my mom now.
You had to get the approval somehow.
You're in, like, Flynn.
Right. Cool.
So, to Jean-Paul Sewer, beware, a Klingon warrior is about to arrive. Kapla.
Nice.
Welcome to the warm-up!
Hey, welcome to the warm-up.
Yep, and we're on that downer note. We're getting high. No? That doesn't work. We're going to do one of our regular bits called
Character Storm.
basically...
That plays underneath Character Storm now.
Just imagine
Character Sandstorm.
We're not the actual noise, the music, just your voice duplicated for the next 20 minutes.
I'll record a thing.
We're gonna do this for real.
You just recorded a thing.
Definitely happening.
I'll record an extended cut.
But he didn't.
So it's basically, if you're not familiar with us doing this, whoever's running it creates a character name, pitches it out to the guys, and then they create a character background, powers, where they would appear, whatever they want to kind of fill out the character.
So Stan Lee throws it out, and Jack Kirby
basically
does the rest. Yeah. Or Bob Kane and Bill Finger. That's really more appropriate.
You know what? We should call this Marvel Method now.
that's good. Let's do that. I'm writing that down.
Character Storm is now Marvel Method.
Yeah.
You still get all the credit, right?
Yep.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
I get all the royalties. Character number one, the Red Wriggler.
The Wriggler?
And if you're not familiar, that is a type of worm.
Yes.
Okay.
It wriggles. I hear.
They're often used in compost piles.
I would see this guy as like an animal man villain, but like a really low level... junkie one.
Also possibly like a junkie
one.
Yeah. Could be both.
He's high, Isaac.
He has worms.
He is.
That's pretty good. All I got is...
He's got tunneling powers.
The actor, comic actor and former Daily Show correspondent, Rob Riggle, gets irradiated. he gets like a gamma sunburn.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like a Red Hulk, but he's just amped up and beat Red and wait, just going on a rampage.
Rob Riggle amped up.
He's a Red Riggler.
What would that look like? He's normally such a calm dude.
Imagine, if you will, redder.
Texture it, Sicily.
Slightly redder.
The Seven Finger Strangler.
Oh.
Only kills people with seven fingers.
Oh, that's very select. That's good.
What do these people have in common? Oh, Jesus.
I hate seven
fingers. Wait, do they have seven fingers on each hand, though?
Or
Are they people who lost a couple fingers?
Is he that?
Is he strangling aliens? Is it like aliens?
He lost a couple fingers. Oh.
Yeah.
I thought like you were going to say like one, like two, one, one hand.
That one Kids in the Hall sketch where he's like, oh, why was I demoted to seventh on the assembly line? Just because I only have seven fingers?
Still seven!
Watch yourself, Kevin McDonald.
My God, why?
This is just, they're going to do a follow-up to that sketch with a strangler.
I've been, I've been waiting years later. I've been waiting years. How many years? A bunch.
Yeah.
It's seven!
It turns out is actually Kevin himself.
Yeah.
Becomes the villain.
Yeah.
He took on the character
or
so much.
Is he that guy, or is he the waiter with stumps for hands? I love that show.
Well, okay, the Seven Finger Strangler is out there, but Detective Stump for Hands has to solve the case. That's right. He's worked his way up in the world. He's doing okay.
And that, it's a DC comic, so it's called 52 Stumps.
I never saw that, or I never read the Danny Husk comic.
No.
Which it was apparently like a real thing that Scott Thompson like co-wrote.
Really?
But it's like, you know, Danny Husk, his like businessman sort of character. He had a mustache.
Oh, right.
There was like a comic where Danny Husk meets Mole Man, and like a couple issues of it.
Good lord.
Just hanging out.
There needs to be more in that universe.
I think so, yeah.
There's a whole Kids in the Hall.
The cinematic universe is coming, yeah. Comic universe.
They got like a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen sort of thing. They got, you know, Cabbage Head and.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Gavin.
You could do that.
No, yeah.
How much of my Emmy worth? Okay, two more. I have a whole list, but I'm just.
Two more.
No Nose Susan.
So it's like that that Jim Carrey movie where he's hypnotized.
What?
Like, you can't say no, you can always say yes. Oh, it's Nose, N-O-S-E.
N-O-S-E.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, then I got nothing.
Well, wait, how does she smell?
She kind of stinks.
Oh, I guess she can't really notice that.
Kind of that putrid odor.
Every time it's Susan, immediately, Sue Storm sneezed one time and her nose went invisible by accident. He has not stopped calling her No-Nose Susan for like 50 years.
Absent-minded No-Nose Susan.
She has suffered so much.
That's good. I like
that. Yeah.
Different direction. I liked it.
Can we do one more?
One more.
Oh, for sure.
And this is because we've been...
More?
We live in Thunder Bay, and we've been incredibly cold for the past little bit.
For the past 19 years.
Well, we always get stints of cold here, but, you know, sometimes it goes longer than other years.
For the listener not in the region, it's so cold here that there's a thing called a block heater that is in most cars here. It's basically a little thing that keeps your engine warm, and you have to plug in your car.
Yeah.
Like, to you guys here, it's like, yeah, I know what a block heater is, but like,
you'd be surprised how many people don't
Toronto
know.
Even in Toronto are like, are these cars all electric? No, we need to plug our engines in so that our cars will start in the morning.
It keeps your battery and part of your engine block warm so that it can start all right. It's still a rough start in the morning, but if you don't do that, it's very possible
that
everything is frozen solid.
Yeah.
So based off that, here's this character called...
you know what? We don't have time for it now.
The character called the Polar Bear Vortex.
Oh, it's a vortex of polar bears.
Hey! Oh!
I just want to end it right there.
Oh, I'm getting bit by polar bears in here. Oh, no!
It's Andrew Dice Clay. So it's like Sharknado, but it's a vortex.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? It's funny because you have a preconception when I make these.
Yeah.
These are beyond what I thought.
Sharknado's like. That's a very L.A. thing. This is, the northern version is a polar bear vortex. Like, we could sit and watch Sharknado and be like, I get it. I just can't identify. This doesn't, exactly. This doesn't speak to me.
Greed isn't in this.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, exactly. Graham Greene versus the polar bear vortex. Listen, we can get this made.
What the f***?
Welcome to a new, bit.
We'll see if this is a recurring.
Yeah, we'll see how this works. What were we gonna call it? I don't even know what we were gonna call it.
The Long Box of Mystery.
Box of Mystery, something like that. Yeah, that's good.
I already called it the Cursed Long Box of the Damned.
Okay.
Well, no, the Cursed Long Box of the Swampy Damned or something.
We found it in Merc's Swamp is what I started with. But we couldn't run over a Sokovian.
Let me tell you a tale.
We ran over a Sokovian Scarlet Witch and... We were cursed.
Whatever it's going to be called, basically we have a pile of comics that we're going to randomly stick our hand into and pull out a mystery comic. And it's been stuffed with bad comics.
Yeah.
Really. Really.
Oh, yeah.
And we're, at least one of us is familiar with all of them, sort of thing. And we'll just dip in and we'll start with the first one and we'll kind of explore that comic in a quick and timely
fashion. Rustle your hand in there. Just dip your hand in right in.
So the first one is Captain America and the Falcon 180. This is actually, I just recently picked this up. This is the first appearance of Steve Rogers as Nomad. This is when he's already ditched the Captain America thing.
That's funny. I just the other day picked up a what if of what if like Cap didn't give up the shield sort of thing.
Ooh.
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's just like, he's like, no, I'm going to keep being Captain America, but screw you guy.
What I like best about this is the price is $1.77 from the back issue. And there's a separate sticker that says Intro of Nomad.
I know.
It's trying to justify the price of $1.77.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was surprised. I'm like, this should be more. Like, and it's not in stellar condition by any means. It's not in crappy condition. It's not falling apart. Staples are there.
Cosmic Cube appearance somewhere kicking around, but it's like in the worst shape of ever you could imagine.
Yeah.
Okay,
but you know, $1.77.
Let's dive into this. Basically, Steve Rogers has already given up the mantle of Captain America, and he's like wandering around. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And I just recently he ran into Hawkeye in the guise of Golden Archer, and I don't know what happened, but it basically kind of spurred him on. That he's like, you know what? I want to be a superhero. I can be a superhero, but I don't need to be Captain America, sort of thing. But he's wandering around New York, and he's wandering around in a very tight-fitting shirt that's like a golf shirt. That's like a short-sleeve golf shirt. And look at these pants. These are delightful. Look, yeah, I'm getting to that.
I'm sick of being Captain America. Now to put on my red shirt and blue pants and get out there.
Blue pants, but the blue kind of checkered.
Don't forget I'm white.
Blue checkered kind of cross.
The funny things I do.
Very much a...
He wrote that song.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do an official dramatic reading, but there will be a few readings from this because this is priceless. So he's just thinking about all this stuff. And he's like thinking about the Golden Archer. And, oh, should I become a hero again? And he walks out into the New York streets and the cabby screech. Hey, space turkey. Watch you look where you're walking. And he goes, sorry, mister, I was just thinking. You ain't supposed to think when you're in the middle of the road, Aristotle.
What the fuck?
You're supposed to get out of the way. Well, all right. And then in the next panel, he's doing the most awkward jump over the taxi. And he's basically got like one hand planted, and he's a perfect X. Like, I'm leaping over the cab. I'm feeling too good to give you an argument. And the cabbie's like, hey, so I'll get out of your way just as fast as I can. Hey, are you out of your bird? Because that's what cabbies
say. Get back in your bird. And we all drive giant birds. That's what I call planes. I'm a cabbie.
To which Steve Rogers responds, nope, just full of juice and cutting loose.
So is this before his bok 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 time? This is a habit, man. Yeah. I did not know that this was a recurring thing with him.
To which there's a passerby that is like, hey, wow, that's gotta be ... Robert Redford. What? Was Robert Redford known for, like,
jumping off? I think it's just because he's so blonde and so handsome.
I guess. Okay.
So blonde.
So then they flip to the next scene, and it's basically Viper.
Huns.
Yeah. The villain is Viper. The guy Viper. So this is early on. Viper. Yeah. There's, like, the later female Viper. Like, yeah, that was Madam Hydra who became Viper.
Yeah. Right.
That's a different Viper. This is a guy Viper who is... spoiler alert.
His costume is basically angry eyes.
Yes. Spoiler alert, he dies right here in the next few pages.
Cool. I'm
excited. So he's being transported by the cops, and he's going wherever, and the coppers are like, hey, we got you now. And he's like blabbing away, and they're like, hey, say whatever you want. You're going to jail.
So he's in the car with the cops. So he's like arrested.
Yes.
Are
you going to ask the question I think you're going to ask?
Why in God's name does he still have his mask on?
Exactly. Why is he still in God's
name?
I assume that's just his skin.
I don't know.
He doesn't have a mouth. I have no mouth, but I must monologue.
Yeah. So one of the cops is, don't get your hopes up, Con. Whatever your buddies are trying to pull, this car was specially designed to withstand just about anything under the sun, because there was like a little explosion in front of the car. And all of a sudden, this dart comes through the window, and they're like, that dart, spraying acid or something. It shattered the bulletproof glass. No, not acid. And I had to say it that way.
I like it.
It's a gas of some sort burning my face, my eyes. We have to get out. I don't want it to say that way.
A little bit of Cartman there.
Yeah. So then they all jump out, and then they all get shot, and they're all dead.
Huh.
But let me just segue to this delightful ad. Because this...
Like, I don't know what's happening anymore.
It's 1974, and these are full of ads.
Oh, yeah.
But this one is from the... Cleveland Institute of Electronics.
Can we dramatic read this?
We can totally dramatic read.
Okay, there's three people.
There's only two people dialogue.
There's three people.
There's mustache.
I will be the woman.
Okay.
Does she literally say nothing?
She says nothing to this whole thing.
Read this story if you want to get it all together, quotes, when you get out of the service. One day, a few months after we both got out of the service, I ran into my old buddy, Pete.
Pete! How you making out?
Oh, not too good, Joe. Can't seem to hack it. No job I can get pays any money. Looks like you're doing all right, though.
I'll see. I'm in electronics, and I have an FCC license.
Electronics? How'd you work out that, Joe?
I say everything twice, because it's twice as nice.
How'd you, Joe?
Joe.
I wish I could get a good Joe.
Damn it.
Do you want to do that?
Exactly how I blew my interview.
Do you want to say that again? And I'll leave
it. Yeah, it's fine. Leave it all in, though.
Yeah.
Electronics. Oh, yeah. How'd you work that, Joe?
CIE, Pete. CIE helped me learn electronics on my off-duty hours by mail. It's the science of the 70s, man.
You too can have a silent girlfriend.
Yes. I was like, wow.
Back on it. Still on it.
Oh, brutal. So getting back to the story, Viper gets out. Everybody, all the cops are dead. And then female Viper, Madam Hydra Viper, jumps out. And she's Madam Hydra. But this is the point where she takes the name Viper.
Oh.
And,
what's wrong with the name you got?
And she's like,
I want both.
He's part of the Serpent Society, and she's like, I want it. Basically comes up and says, I'm going to take over the Serpent Society, and I've stopped your car to break you out to take over the Serpent Society. And he's like, won't that cause confusion in the marketplace? This is literally the dialogue. Won't that cause confusion in the marketplace? Marketplace? I mean, I'm the Viper too. I'm the Viper too. Say, listen, if you'd like me to change my name, what's in a name after all? Silence. I know you can read your fate in my eyes, she says. But do not deceive yourself that your glib capitalist tongue could sway me from my mission. Urgh. Zat as she shoots him.
Oh, I hate getting zatted.
I care nothing for death, yours or anyone's. I also I picture her like speaking like a some sort of hoity-toity.
I care nothing for
death. Do you want to do this one?
Oh, sure.
Do you want? Yeah, okay.
Start, here we go.
Start there.
I care nothing for death, yours or anyone's. If my plans go awry, I have no doubt that the forces of your society will serve it up to me. So it means nothing to me to serve it up to you. Zat-a-tat-tat.
Then this is... This
one. Gosh.
Sorry.
No worries. In truth, very little means anything to me, fool. I've seen too much of life to have any illusions regarding its importance. You stood in my way, and since I held the weapon, you died. What the f***?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Had it been the other way around, I would be lying in the dirt. That's...
Yeah.
There is no meaning.
I am a nihilist. Where is Flea?
We want some money, Lebowski. Yeah.
There is no meaning, only happenstance. We are but the pawns of the greater forces in society. I fight for nihilism, and shall continue to do so until I, in turn, am cut down. Now, you will never have a chance to betray my new serpent squad. I'm a stroke.
Yeah. My question is, after, is he dead yet during, like, this speech?
Yeah.
Because
he's totally dead.
Good for him.
She's stripping
him. I'm so happy for
him. At the last point, she's stripping him naked of his costume.
Who's she talking to?
But why is she stripping him naked? Because she never actually takes the costume and never puts it on or anything.
So nobody knows that he died.
He just, there's a naked guy that's been shot on the road.
Easier than burying him.
So then it follows a eel. And I guess this is an early part of, I guess it's Serpent Squad at this point, not Society. Okay.
This is like early 70s.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is 1974. Oh, this is the year I'm born. Isn't that interesting? So Eel and Princess Python are part of it, and they're breaking out of jail with Cobra. So
I think he is Robert Redford. Look at that. Look at that face.
It's Captain America.
Looks like a real Rock Hudson to me.
I'll break this down. It's basically Captain America's in the apartment and Sharon Carter walks in and is like, "Hey baby," and she's like, "Hey baby," and then she's like, "Hey, what's going on?
We have the same voice.
Are you on the phone? I've been on the phone. Are you running up my phone bill? No, I ain't been running up your phone bill." That's exactly what he says.
I've
decided to work out a new costumed identity. Ooh, because the Golden Archer, blah, 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 blah.
America's got to pay those telephone bills.
Yeah.
Pay
those automobiles.
They're both so blonde, so beautiful.
I'm going to be a new costumed identity. I'm going to be a superhero. And she goes, "Oh, that's nice. Sharon, what's the matter? I thought you'd be pleased. Pleased? That you wanted to start dividing your time between me and your job again? Oh, yes, Steve. I'm ecstatic. I thought you liked me being a hero." And it just descends from there.
What is he going to do otherwise?
Yeah, he's like...
He needs to do something.
I was frozen in ice for years. This is all I know how to do.
Divide your between your job and
all
me again.
All I know how to do is punch Nazis.
Hold on a minute.
Are you a Nazi? You have to tell me if you are.
Or you want to start dividing your time between me and your job again, like everyone?
But I thought you liked me being a hero. When I had no choice, what else could I do? You were firmly established as Cap by the time we met. And if I was going to love you, I was going to have to accept that. Blah, 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 blah.
Isn't she also a spy?
Yeah, I know.
And
there's
and
there's
besides,
that.
When you were born, when you were... I forgot.
I was dating...
What's your aunt?
I was dating your aunt, or whoever you want to deal with.
It was going to be a statue.
And then, okay.
Hey, we ain't going to go talk to my buddy Hal. Hi.
Serpent Squad, Viper, female Viper jumps in, and there's a little fight between her and Cobra. She wins, and she totally humiliates him, like, just horribly so. And then we skip ahead. So he wants to be a costume hero again.
Right.
So Steve Rogers is like, breaks out his sketch pad, and he's like, Never realized before how much effort I was spared through the government's giving me my costume. I keep trying to design something fantastic. But I'm just kidding myself. I hadn't liked the basic cut of my capsuit. I had over a decade to change it, and I didn't. This is the design I want. Not much different from the old one. Still, I'm pretty different from what I was, and I'll need a name that reflects it. But it's funny that he says it's not that different. It's completely different.
Yeah. From the previous. It is the most different.
Later on, we'll talk about it, because it has a dip-down cut that's like right to the right nape. He's like, follow the trail, ladies.
My thing is, how old was he when he enlisted?
He was underage, technically.
Yeah.
And
that was several years, and they got frozen. They got thawed out. So he's like, he's fairly young.
Yeah.
Fairly inexperienced. He's going through his, college age phase here. He's like, I'm going to reinvent myself. I'm going to dye my hair. A couple years later.
I'm going to get buff working out.
Yeah.
Or maybe just some drugs.
Oh, because that's why the nomad costume has a puka shell necklace.
Yeah. So he says, still, I'm pretty different from what I was, and I'll need a name that reflects it. Since I'm getting away from the red, white, and blue, I've already picked this all-weather fabric in somber tones. So the name should be something dark, mysterious. I hope a bat doesn't fly in my window or I'll be in big trouble.
Oh, Lord.
Wink. Wink. Yeah.
Because I hate bats. I'm definitely allergic to bats.
Not in my hair.
My
Not
friend my Ozzy really likes hair. Them. No, something that means adventurer, like Daredevil. What about...
What if I just took Daredevil? What's he gonna do? Sue me?
I guess or I'm gonna fight have to... Me? I guess I'm gonna have to or shoot him to death and strip him naked.
Or sue fight me?
That's what we do in this comic.
What about the privateer, the swashbuckler? Nope, not quite right.
What about the Red Wriggler?
And everybody call me Swash for short. Is that what you're worried about? The freebooter? That has more of a ring to it.
What?
I am free.
The The Freejacker? I do love Freejack, a movie which is modern at this time.
So we'll skip ahead a little bit. Yeah, I've cut myself loose from the ties to the past. Made myself a man without a country. Well, there's the Gypsy.
Oh no.
Or...
The Sokovian.
Or...
The Romani.
Yeah. Darn. I wish I thought to bring a thesaurus.
Has he ever been this dumb before?
No. He says, vagrant, migrant, hobo, bum, no way, not classy enough.
Oh my god.
Hey, speaking of glass.
Is everyone in this comic having a stroke?
Hey, speaking of classy, one thing I always did want on my costume was a cape. Sure, why not? Those guys with capes always look great. And though I'm out to strike terror into anyone's heart, the job does call for some style. Sure, a cape. And basically he's like...
Maybe I should update my boots. Nah.
Nope. This is the birth of the Nomad. And let's look at that.
Like how he's like, maybe I'll consider a cape. And apparently he's already made it, though?
Yeah, oh, full on.
Yeah, he's like, just like, maybe a cape. Is he sewing? Oh, I see him sewing.
He's sewing, so yeah.
I assume
it takes a little longer than that, I think, to sew, though. He's talking slowly.
Well, a cape's really easy to make. It's really just a piece of fabric.
That's true. He's got some big buttons. That's all you need.
Yeah.
I like how he has a mask, but it's not connected to anything.
No.
Like a lot of superheroes, when they have a mask, it's connected to the rest of their costume. And not just in a place where there is no fabric.
This 100% looks like a sex thing.
I was going to lead to that. I was like, when you have a mask that starts in the middle of your neck, goes up, and you're bare-chested, I'm like, you're going to a fetish party.
No, absolutely he is. Yeah. That's the only reason
I'm the fetish party.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you are. Then it says, let me just
see. Oh, look, there's Cap reacting to his own decisions. Screaming.
It says,
I need a name that reflects my... take no prisoners attitude. What about
The pegger.
Hard pound.
I feel like fuck.
I've been...
No, you need to go over that one.
What about the sodomist?
I feel like I've been silenced by the system. I shall be the ball gag.
The gag.
But he's got one in there.
I was trying to figure out a way to get
this. He's got it in there. Hey, crime!
Did you say hey, crime?
No, it's like, I was getting like,
hey, crime, how's it going?
Hey, crime.
Oh, get there, crime.
Where's my old friend, crime?
He's just slobbering all over the place because he's just salivating.
Drooling wildly.
So, Iron Man flies in and he's like, whoa, Cap, I'm just trying to help out here.
As Tony Stark, I'm into a lot of things. Yeah. But I don't know if I can take this.
Even I can't handle this.
Let me call Papa.
Putting this demon back in the bottle.
Nice. So it says, The Nomad is a big splash page. End part one. So let me just point out that it says, end part one, continued after next page. So then we go to... This. Then there's like the letters page. Let's and this is like, we're really, we're not the at
comic,
the end.
The comic will be right back.
Yeah.
Right now.
You think it will. Oh, wait. No, it won't. On the next flip of the page, there's...
Ooh, Spider-Man medallion coins.
Yeah. You know what? And I love this
if
shit.
If you send this stuff in, would it, like, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
You apply to an old thing.
Nothing.
I got $3.99 to spare. Don't.
$3.99 American.
Not American.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Send for your official Marvel Solid Bronze Spider-Man medallion coin, including 12-karat gold-filled neck chain and holder.
Oh, you can wear that? Amazing!
Oh, it's that Hulk, I think, Hulk and Conan as well.
I think, actually, if you look back, a Spider-Man medallion coin hanging over that bare chest would really complete... Nomad's look, I think, right there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He's ready for the disco.
Okay, so then we actually go to the next part, and it's part two. And this is a delightful page. So part two, and there's this dude that's walking up to, he's in some, like, apartment building, whatever, and it says welfare off, on the door it says welfare office, Sam Wilson, who we all know is Falcon. And this guy's trying the door, and it says time. That evening, place, read the sign. Person, a guy called Roscoe.
Oh, I am captivated.
Yep. Do you guys want to play along with this one?
Oh, okay.
So Roscoe walks up. I'll describe. Roscoe walks up to the door, and he's trying the door.
I assume it's locked.
Yeah.
Ain't this a kick in the teat?
I bet teat. The... Teat. Let me just say
it. It literally says teat with an apostrophe. I bend the rules to scan Mr. Rogers' address in the gym registry. Which...
Where Roscoe... like, little asterisks. Where Roscoe works and Steve worked out.
In that outfit?
Yeah, hopefully.
And then he ain't home.
Nice medallion.
Yeah. You go Spider-Man medallion. God, I'm so loud. I'm so sorry. And then he ain't home. But heck, if I lived in a welfare office, I'd travel a lot too. I didn't know things were so bad for him. Sure, wish I could have found him. He's the perfect choice. Look what he's reading.
Let me just say, when I read this, I had a certain voice. It was not that, and that just made this whole thing for me.
Oh, I'm glad.
So from behind comes...
Perfect choice for what, kid?
Is that going to pick it up?
Probably not.
Perfect choice for what, kid?
Ha, ho, wah, holy crow, the Falcon. What kind of luck is that?
Luck? What are you talking about, my man?
Why, I was just thinking about Captain America and pops his partner.
Well, I patrolled this section of town pretty thoroughly. It's not hard to run into me up here. But there's one mistake you made, amigo. The Falcon has nothing to do with Captain America anymore.
Just for clarification's sake, that's the Falcon that Sam Wilson talking
about. Yeah,
no,
that is not the voice I would associate with. But it's delightful. I love it.
I'm trying to avoid sounding like the old man from Family Guy. I feel like that's what I'm like. Turning. That's what it's. That's not what I want to be. I just want to be like,
hey, guys.
I just want to be sort of more like.
Do you
want
to deliver your papers to me?
Hey, I'm the Falcon. How are you? It's nice to
meet you. See, like a little
more. Maybe it's a softer
Falcon. A little more polite, a little more precise with
that. Oh, there's too much Roscoe coming at you right now.
Okay, here comes Roscoe.
Oh, yeah, I know he's quit, but that's just the point. You know, all these guys, Dad, have been trying to come to the new CA. Well, I'm going to do it. That's when Mr. Rogers comes in. He's the best genius I ever seen. So if I can get him to be my trainer.
What? You want Steve to train you to be Captain America? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Why don't you go on home, kid? It's getting real late. And if you're going to dream, you might as well be in bed.
Oh, no. Well, now it definitely sounds like the guy from Family Guy.
Darn it.
Yeah. Oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, why don't you go suck a peach bird brain? We'll see who's dreaming.
Why don't you go suck a peach bird brain?
I love that.
That's just turning into agitated Mr. Meeseeks now, so I don't know what's going on. That's here.
We are not trained.
No.
So then we flip to, it's Nomad. And Steve's in full Nomad costume, and he's like jumping around.
That costume was never full.
Yeah, no. You know, half Nomad costume. And he's jumping from roof
all over the neighborhood.
It was insatiable.
It's dark. It's obviously nighttime. And he's like, hey, oh yeah, I'm loving this. He's rubbing his nipples and stuff.
All right, they're easily accessible.
Well, and he says, look out, world. Tonight, wait. What's that? On the street. Somebody's being kidnapped by a lot of old supervillains. Because I don't know what that means. Somebody's being kidnapped by a lot of old supervillains. Who? Like, what does that even
mean? Where's the brand new supervillains? Yeah, like, I'm sick of
these. I recognize them all as old supervillains. So basically.
Are you still doing this?
In front of a theater.
Get your shit together, Trevor.
The whole Serpent Squad is like attacking a group or a couple people, and basically they're grabbing somebody and trying to kidnap them.
Is it Roscoe?
It's not Roscoe.
Damn it.
But it's the guy from Rocks and Oil. You'll find that out later. So then basically, they drag him into the theater, and then the theater that's playing right now, they're playing a Captain America movie. And so then, basically...
About when he throws his mighty shield?
Exactly. So they jump up on stage, and just as they jump up on stage, in flies Nomad on a wire, because he shoots webs.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. And basically it starts fighting. And we won't get too much into it, but it's
ooh,
fighting.
Swag. Well, he's fighting them in, like, the same moves are being shown on the screen with Captain America.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And then, of course, the huge python, pythons known for their speed.
Yeah.
Overtakes the agile Captain America.
Yeah, and their thickness. At least 14 inches.
Exactly.
God, that's too much.
Throws the snake back at Princess Python, and then battles. And okay, so then...
Lump.
So then Cobra jumps him from behind and gets him in kind of a headlock from behind, and he's like, arrogant fool, did you think one kick would fell the Cobra? Cobra, come on! No.
Cobra!
Wrong karma. you have much to learn. And then, so the Nomad flips him over in a judo flip. Actually, Cobe, I know a lot more about you than you think, because, of course, they don't know who he is. And so he lands, and he's like, you'll have to wonder about when we've met before. And then all of a sudden he steps on his cape.
No capes.
And falls, wham, right on his face.
Yeah.
Oh, that character's going to be back in the new one.
He tripped over his cape. I always knew I'd see that. Someone do that someday. Quickly, while he's dazed, we can escape. And then they escape. And then in anger.
What a nerd! Draw dicks on his face!
He rips the cape off. Like, he shreds it right off his back. And he's like, okay, I made a mistake. But I can live with that on the first time out. And then there's, to end it off, flashback to the Serpent Squad in their hideout. And basically, Viper is telling everybody what they've done. And we've taken this guy, and this man is the president of Rocks and Oil. the monstrous oil conglomerate. Good lord, says Cobra. Then she continues, and we have need of his knowledge and resources. When I say we, I speak of ourselves and one other, a silent partner. Why would you speak of it that way? That seems weird. I speak of ourselves and one other, a silent partner in our enterprise. Hitherto unknown to any but myself, I speak of... We flip the page.
What?
Yes. You have a man standing triumphantly with a big fishbowl on his head.
He's got like a fishbowl, like it's a clear fishbowl.
Holding up a serpenty crown. Though, and he says, not she...
Yes, but he's just waiting for his cue.
Viper's got her hand out, like I'm presenting, and then this person says,
"A very special guest,
the Warlord Krang, my dear." Yeah, exactly.
I'm disappointed on every possible level.
And then he explains himself.
The Warlord Krang, my dear. Krang, exiled noble of fabled Atlantis herself. Who shall... No, that was Pee-wee Herman.
It's close, though.
Who shall achieve his most stunning triumph through the aid of industrialists, yourself, and the seven-headed crown of Lost Lemuria.
And then Viper says, in but a few days, my friend, we shall rule the world!
I noticed there was, like, they're in their hideout, and they're using a crate as a coffee table. Why don't I get a crate for a coffee table?
That's pretty good.
One could only hope to get to that level.
Now, why would you buy a crate?
What would you feel in such crate?
Oh, Christmas decorations.
Oh, that's true.
Where the frick do you put those things?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no idea.
Barrel. That's where you get your crates and barrels.
You know who I should ask? Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, where does he get them?
Well, he is the leader of the whole crew.
I know. Yeah. And I can't believe that Captain America is still called Nomad. Do you think there's going to be a joke in the movie? Because he's not like the stars off of the costume, yeah. And yeah. It's all just like dark. I hope not. I just don't mention it at all.
I want someone to Photoshop.
Yeah, just the V thing down right there. Down.
Yeah, that would be delightful.
Go well with that. Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for someone else to do it.
Yep.
And there's the picture for the episode.
Yeah.
Google it.
Moment of zero. Zero.
Hey, welcome to the Moment of Zero. Hi, how are you? You made it to that part of the episode. I wanted to talk a little bit about something that I've read a few of in Read This Maybe segment.
Sounds good.
I wanted to briefly touch on three biographical novels, I guess you could call it.
Biographical, like a novel.
Or not biographical, like biographies that are done in the graphic novel format.
Right.
I think it works, it's perfect.
Yay! I did it! So the three I wanted to mention were Andre, Life and Legend by Box Brown, which is Andre the Giant.
Oh, Andre the Giant?
Yeah.
Really?
It's really good.
I've never heard of that.
Sweet. Feynman by Jim Ottaviani and Leland Myrick.
As in the physicist?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ha!
And Rise of the Dungeon Master, which is like a biography of Gary Gygax by David Kushner and Corin Shandy. And they're of varying qualities.
Okay.
The Andre the Giant one is really quite good.
Yeah.
Box Brown does good, great stuff.
Just, you mean like quality as in like the
quality of the
presentation or just overall like very well written?
Quality of the story. Okay. The problem, and you know, I haven't read a ton of biographies. I've read you know, maybe a dozen in total.
Yeah.
Most of them being like wrestler biographies. And that's the thing, like a lot of those were written at maybe a midpoint in the person's career, not after they had died. And I don't know if this is a thing with biographies where they sort of reach a point and it's like, okay, you don't need to keep telling the story of the rest of this person's life.
Yeah.
Right. There's a reason movies will end and then they have that white text.
Yeah. The Andre the Giant one was really good throughout. The Richard Feynman one read almost like a series of anecdotes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gary Gygax thing, the Gary Gygax one, got to a certain point and then it could have ended.
Yeah.
But then it was, and then he did business things. And it was, don't
worry. You could have had like a little clip of that.
Yeah.
There's always a part that's like the most dramatic part of the story that actually has something of
That's what you should really, should be the focus of these things.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of curious, like, have you guys read a lot of biographies? Is this a thing?
Like, biography comics?
But just biographies in general.
Biographies in general, yeah.
I've read a few.
Yeah.
And do they go farther than they should?
They often... it depends on the writer.
Okay.
And it's like it's not even farther than they should. It's just how it's depicted in the farther part.
Right.
If you kind of wrap it up, and you want to be complete.
Yeah.
So you want to get the full life, and you're being like, not just the things we know, but a little bit of what we don't know, and then if the what we don't know isn't very interesting...
Yeah.
You know, just kind of wrap it up quickly.
I think it sort of depends on what... Like, if you're going for... If it's just supposed to be something thorough...
Yeah.
I think if you're writing
kinda
a book,
have to.
Like a textbook... Yeah. That's different, I think, than doing, like, a graphic novel or even a movie or something like that, where it's sort of like you're... At that point, you're telling a story with that. It's like a visual story. You need to focus on what the most dramatic, interesting part is.
Yeah.
Or you should anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any port in a storm.
What up?
But it's a sort of pattern. You see it happening more. You know, these are only three. I've read other ones, but it's it's a thing. And if you're gonna do it properly.
Right. Do it.
Make it a good story.
Yeah.
Make the subject someone who died young. I don't know.
Well, that, like,
you know, that,
but that's the thing, is the people that don't, when their careers end and the thing that you're following is done, there is a life beyond that. So it's like, you can't ignore that, but then it's how it's depicted. And it's like, do you just do a 2-page wrap up and be like, this is what happened?
Then more happened.
Yeah. And you know what?
Still
like,
some sort of like plot fast. / thematic closure that sort of ties it together, and anything that doesn't play a role in that, in the actual storytelling, should just be, you know what I mean, you get through that however you do as quickly as you can, and or try it in somehow.
I'm interested in the Feynman one,
honestly,
and Giant one, but
honestly, read them all. They're incredibly long reads. Feynman is actually I think Feynman and Andre were both through first, second.
Okay.
I could not tell you who put out the Gary Gygax one.
Okay.
But I have it. You can borrow it.
All right. Here we go.
I mean, I'm interested in all three.
So, you read it, maybe.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to wait for my upcoming Kyle Lee's biographic novel.
That one went too far.
When does it end? With my dad?
You're gonna have to find out.
You can read it after. Oh, wait.
I'm just writing about the future. It's predictive.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I would love to read a predictive biography.
And it turns out you meet your end heroically in a polar vortex.
A polar bear vortex.
Whoa! A polar bear vortex. That's your last words. Oh, no! Polar bear vortex!
Oh, jeez, it was just like in my dreams and in the book!
It was Steve Rogers had teach me gymnastics. Then I'd be much better in this polar bear vortex!
But the falcon could always teach you.
What?
And what did we learn about tying it all together?
Nothing.
Oh,
so
God.
So who are we?
I'll go. I'm Bri Kotick. My comic is Welcome to Hereafter at welcometohereafter.com. Go figure. My name is Brykotyk. You can find me on the internet.
I am Merk. You can find me at merkasylum.ca, merkasylum.ca. You can find me at Merk on Facebook, Merkanaut, like astronaut, on Instagrams, Merk Asylum on kind of Twitters. Sure.
Might be bad.
I rarely look there, but I do get notifications if people send me kind of stuff or react or whatever. So, yeah.
I'm just going to start just tweeting you every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I know.
Just, hi.
Pay attention to me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look up here.
Please. Love me. And I'm Kyle Lees. You can check all of my stuff out at thekylees.com or just searching The Kyle Lees on any of the various social media things. I make comics occasionally. I make art prints and t-shirts and the occasional poem. All sorts of stuff. All sorts of borts. Because it's been a very long day. Yeah. We are three episodes deep, and...
That's what she said. Ooh, sorry.
She said that? Barbara?
Barbara?
Whoa! Hey, Barbara, why are you... Oh!
Barbara.
Oh, you used to be nicer to me, Barbara.
Easy, Roscoe. All right. That's all we got.
Bye.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
No.
Everybody into the clown car.
Everybody into the clown.
Oh, God. It's.
There's so many people in this clown.
That really just writes itself, doesn't it?
It does. Zero issues. What's in the fridge? Oh, wait, that's
another. Oh, that's Skylar. Yeah.
Sunny D, purple stuff. Woo!